If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the Heartland, it's time for Keeping It 99.
Even better than I was the last time, baby. Ooh,
ooh, ooh, ooh. We back.
I'm good.
Ooh, yeah. I'm good. Better than I was the last time, baby. Ah. Ooh, ooh, ooh,
ooh. We back, and 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 we back. You be my
nigga.
Ding dong ding. I don't want to get up and turn it off. I'm like, I should do that for the sake of the
podcast.
I was gonna
say, like, do you control it by the light switch and then run another fan or something?
No, or like
do you pull those? You actually pull those. Yeah. So I was gonna say, if you just
pulled the one tape, and tape, just stop,
tape the other one, tape them, tie them together, make it to where they can't just clink clink clinking. Wrap cotton balls around.
I'm always
the,
like,
just wrap, put cotton balls around the chain. You know what I mean? Like, they won't make a sound at all. It'll just be like, it'll just hit me in the cotton balls.
They're kind of like my meditation.
This is like my wind chime.
It's my bonsai tree. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I could just lay here and be like, bing bong, bing bong, bing bong, ding ding, and then sometimes it'll stop, and then sometimes it goes nuts. It's like ding 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 ding. And then sometimes it's nothing, and I'm like, where is it? And then it does this again.
What was the kid's... What was the Korean kid's name off of fucking Arrested Development?
I don't recall.
Oh, it was Anyang.
Oh, yeah!
Anyang. Anyang. But it meant hello. You said Bing Bong, and I thought Anyang. I was like, is that kid's name Bing Bong?
Is that racist?
Like, is that racist? That it's called Bing Bong? Hey, Bing Bong.
All right, we're going to try this again.
7:39.
We're back! Welcome to Keeping It 99, your one-stop shop podcast.
Hey, we're trying to get in as fast as we can. Let's get it in.
Rock and roll. Northeast Ohio. We're going to just say this is season two. Every 66 episodes is a season. That's a pretty evil number. You don't want to do every 666 episodes. That's ridiculous.
We've been gone. We're going to be alive that long.
We've been gone for a while. There's too much to like recap. Overall, like, we don't have enough time to go over what's
everything
been going on
and why we've been gone, why I'm a dick. I don't have time for that.
No.
We don't. There's other shit happening. But welcome to fucking season two.
Season two.
Of Keeping It 99.
We're going to win a podcast award for season two. I feel it this year. I feel we're going to win the Keeping It 99 potty. Award.
We should be invited to some PodCon.
Yeah, is there? Where's PodCons?
I don't know. They have TwitchCon.
My name is Eagle. I'm joined by Rubber City Redbeard.
The fucking awesome and gorgeous.
You are. You got a glow to you today. You're shining, brother.
Green eyes, beaming,
shining.
Oh, beard, all red and shit. Hence the fucking name. That's right.
We had a good weekend. We kicked it over the past weekend, man. We had a really good weekend.
one of the best shows I can think of in years, dude.
Hate Theory, Dolly Trauma.
Dolly Trauma, yeah.
Below the Tide, Racing Never, and Curse Them.
Everybody really, fucking killed it.
Everybody crashed.
Everybody was really good.
Nobody was bad. Nobody
the crowd was thick off the rip, so everybody got to play to a good crowd.
With yeah, them, I was really so awesome. Excited about that.
But that show was sold out, dude. There was 500 plus in that place, and it was gorgeous. It was fucking gorgeous. And, might I add, no fights. There's no fights. You know what I mean? No spinning back kicks.
No.
No funky ass fucking kung fu. It was old school. It was a fucking old school 1998 kind of night.
Yeah, man.
And everybody played nice and fucking Hate Theory, dude. Still killing shit.
Still killing shit.
But so here's the thing about this show, right? So the show sold out like 2 weeks prior to the show, 3 weeks prior to the show. Mushroom Head with 12 bands on that fucking show.
There's a lot of bands.
A lot of bands might sell out. Might sell out. Yeah. Because they haven't sold out every time. Right? And then you get Hate Theory and Dolly Trauma together.
Right.
And it sells out.
So many people were excited about seeing some of these bands get together. I understood that there was a good following for Dolly Trauma. But man, the passion that people were speaking to me with about their love for Dolly Trauma and hearing specific songs, and they're just like, is it fucking beautiful music I'm going to get? One dude straight told Jessica and myself, he's like, I'm going to get so emotional during this one. He was I forget
what I almost he was fucking cried about. When they were playing. I almost cried when they were playing.
He's like, I'm going to get so emotional. Yeah. That's why I'm here. And he was like, I'm going to try not to cry.
I came here to get emotional, bro.
Yeah.
I didn't go there for that. Sky Will Fall was playing, and I was just like, God damn it.
I teared up twice in the past week during concerts. One, when Primus opened up their set, because I got to see Primus last Thursday. Thank you, Chris Link. Thank you so much. Front row is shy. I say ish because sometimes
we're going to have to talk about that.
We'll have to get to that, but I cried during the opener. Those damn
you did like the opening song, right? Like you cried for Primus,
and that was even like pointing at my eyes.
Cried for, you know what I mean? Like that's not Tori Amos.
But that was there was a moment for me. That's one of my favorite songs. It's one of my favorite bands of all time. It's because I was right in front of fucking Les Claypool, dude. Like
it's because like, your body overloads instantly with emotion, and there's nowhere for it to go. You can't like it doesn't blow out your fingertips and shit. It's all inside of you. And it usually squeezes right out the corner of your eyes.
I did that during Hate Theory's set. Just out of nowhere. They started playing Freezing, right? I love that song.
Oh, man. Oh, fucking Freezing, dude.
I had the goosebumps. I had the tears. I got taken back to a time when I went to a metal show. It was me and two of my friends. And they, at the time, like they were huge like NDE marks. Fucking, you know, Hate Theory was you know they were crushing shit around here, and I believe it was at Ron's Crossroads. It was at Ron's Crossroads, and anyway, we took my friend Timmy, and he did not like metal. Metal is not his thing at all. Like he liked punk rock, but really he liked that '90s like you know just happy hipster for the '90s alt rock
live.
Yeah. He had a live CD, that's for sure.
Was that one with the Shannon Noons?
Oh, Blind Melon?
Blind Melon? Yeah. Into that. That's kind of
no
like that.
Rain. Anywho.
Shannon News was awesome, though.
He was pretty good.
I've seen a story on him.
He did like some backup vocals on Don't Cry with the Guns N' Roses. Yeah, that's right. Don't you cry tonight. Timmy hated metal. Hated it. But he wanted to go to the show. He wanted to hang out with some friends and stuff. So a couple bands are playing. And the whole time, Timmy is just not fucking having it. Not fucking having it at all. He's like, this sucks. This is fucking bullshit.
Told
just
you I didn't want to come anyways.
Just chain smoking cigarettes. Just like, fuck this shit. Fucking whatever.
Somebody better buy me a drink.
Hate Theory goes on. And they at some point, they start playing the song Freezing. And I'm looking around for Tim, and I see Tim in the pit. Now, keep in mind, my buddy Tim is like 100 pounds soaking wet. Like, this is a skinny, small fucking dude. Music lover, hates the metal because it's just a bunch of fucking noise, right? Has to sit through all these local bands just going up like, fucking like, I just want to die, fuck the world, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, man, fuck you guys, you big bully assholes, nah, right? You know, he's kind of that guy, just, you know, Starbucks and shit. So I see Timmy in the middle of the fucking pit, just like flailing around, just flailing, not knowing exactly what he's doing, and he's just like, push, shh, hate you, fuck you guys, right during freezing. And so I see these dudes are like, oh, we're about to fucking crush this dude. I'm like, hey, I'm about to fucking crush you. That's my dude.
Right.
So I got to pit.
Oh, that dude's got a boy.
I got to pit during freezing, protecting my boy Timmy. Just like,
who was snatched from his normal life right into a mosh pit.
Yeah.
By the throes of hate theory.
And it wasn't like a case of, now I'm a big Hate Theory fan. That song spoke to me. He was just so mad looking at everybody being bullies or being, in his mind, bullies because, you know, the mosh pits at Hate Theory fucking had awesome, as I would call them. He was just like, fucking fine, I'm going to show you. Fuck you. But I was like, the song compels you, man. That song fucking compels you. You heard it. I was like, that's what fucking heavy metal was. And he had a great time with Hate Theory. He was like, yeah, they're all right. They're pretty good. They're pretty good. It was a good pit. He's like, I didn't do too bad in the pit, if I do say so myself. I was like, that's because I saved you. I saved your life.
Yeah, you're about to die.
You was about to die.
There was like three guys that were targeting you.
Buddy and Grant.
Or two of them. I'm sure I was there, right?
Yeah. Watching him poo was like one of the funnest things. I can still just see the look on his face because it was a real anger of like, eh. But he didn't know what to do. Like, he didn't know how to do it. And so it was just like one hand, like little shove, like, eh.
Yeah. Because he's not, he's a happy guy. He's not, he didn't want to.
You're a jerk. You're a jerk. Take that. You take that. And but I started thinking about that, and I was like, "Oh man, there's the band fucking playing the song," and it's like, you know, rest in peace, Timmy.
Yeah,
it was a good time, man. It was a good time, and like, so I cried. I cried.
That's a good reason to cry. That's an emotional thing.
I was like, I was having such a good little time too. It was like I got to, we were talking to our friend Tim, and saw Bo, and Bo gave me a beer. Got me a beer, and I'm like, the whole situation was just like, it was a lovely time. I was feeling emotional. It was like a high school reunion-ish type deal.
Bo was kind of busting my nuts at the end of the night about us doing a podcast together.
Yeah, I was all
like,
about
all
it.
Us together. I know, that's what he said. He was all about it. And I was like, look, I'm having a hard enough time doing ours right now. Let me just fucking get out of a funk.
It will happen.
There. I'll be there.
Yeah.
You know I'll be there, Bo. What the fuck? Right, Rock Savage's podcast, by the way. Go over and fucking check those guys out.
Dude, they just put out an episode like talking to Hate Theory and shit. Like,
of course they did, because they're fucking
dope.
Yeah, they're those dudes.
But they're like the tightest theory. I mean, Burn Blue Sky, it's a band that's Hate Theory with Bo's in it, you know? It's
fucking awesome. Like in a band with the dude from Hate Theory.
Yeah, they kind of know each other.
Yeah.
It's a pretty great podcast too, man. So fucking go check them out. We love those guys.
Yeah, that show was fucking wicked, though. Dolly Trauma's whole fucking set, like, that crowd was amazing. That whole room lit up, looked fucking gorgeous. Everybody was just having such a good time. And you can hear, like, everybody was still singing the words to those songs, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee not everybody has those fucking CDs anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I was singing strictly off of memory. I haven't had a DT fucking disc in forever. Broken at some point or whatever, you know? And for me, it was just a nostalgic night. It was weird because I didn't get into the mosh pit at all. And Hate Theory was playing. Like, I really think that's the first time in my life since I started seeing Hate Theory that I didn't get into a Hate Theory pit. So it bothered me. I was like, man, this is fucking amazing, because they sounded really fucking good, dude. They haven't played together in a long time, and they really fucking sounded good. So I'm like, I'm standing there, And at one point, like, Jeff came over and told me I was awesome. And at the time he told me, "Redbeard, you're awesome," I was thinking in my head of how unawesome I was. Like, at that particular time, I was like, I'm a giant sack of shit for just standing here and not going down there right now.
You know? I would have taken your post. I was right behind you. Yeah. All you gotta do is be like, "Hey, just fucking keep an eye out. I'll be right back."
Yeah. You can't have a security shirt on and get into the fucking pit and start shoving people around and shit. Like, then it's like,
we could have traded shirts.
The security guy's an asshole.
We could have traded shirts.
Should've. You know, look, could've, would've, should've.
Should've planned it out.
Could've, would've, should've. It was fucking, I mean, and again, like, no problems, man. Like, these shows today, the newer generation and the crowd now, like, I'm throwing kids out left and right for fucking dumb shit, man. That was a sold out fucking show, and we threw like two dudes out.
Yeah,
two.
I think a lot of it has to do with the age. I was excited. Like, I didn't feel like the old man at the show. Like, I go to a Wall Creeper show, or I go see Feds, or the Black the Suns. I see some of these younger cats who are amazing. You know, why wouldn't I want to go see these bands and shit, right?
Sure, yeah, but we could be their fucking old creepy uncle.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not.
Which paying. I am, basically.
Yeah.
It was like I was watching the Robin Hood floor again. Same people, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. There was so many of the same fucking faces from the old school Hate Theory shows. And damn, I want to go back to that night. That was a good night.
It's good times.
You got to see me in action.
Yeah, I got that. Yeah. That was a surreal moment because we didn't expect it. Like,
you don't expect it.
Like, small little group happened. Of us were shooting the shit, and I was thinking, I was like, oh, maybe I should go ask Grant. I feel like he's got that money I asked him to hold on to. And then we got no conversation, and I look over, and I just see you with one hand, like, have this guy by his shirt and just walking him out, like, no, 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 like, marched him out.
Yeah.
And I put my hands in the air. I was like, that's my dude! I'm like, another guy!
Yeah, apparently, like, on the way out the door or whatever, I almost bowled over little Carly Klempit.
Yeah.
She's tiny, you know? She's I didn't even know there was another human being in the path. I didn't even see her. Like, I threw down my markers because I still had my markers in my hand. And I thought I was going to have to fucking, like, work this dude. So I threw the markers down. And then I came back and they were sitting on the table. And I was like, who the fuck picked up my shit for me? Like, thank you. And then she was like, oh, it was me. I was walking in the door. Had no idea. Yeah, the guy was a dick, though, you know. Hey, fellas, you can't put your hands on a chick in front of me and get away with that shit.
Right?
The only reason that dude fucking still has his face in the same order is because I was at my job. That was my fucking job. Don't put your fucking hands on a female, dude.
You look like such a badass, dude.
Well, that shit pisses me off, though. Like, that's, like, one thing that I just... I can't deal with that shit. I can't.
Who can? Oh, I guess that guy could.
Yeah.
Apparently there's some people that are just perfectly fine with that kind of shit.
Some people like beating bitches.
But they're going to get dealt with.
But you're going to get dealt with.
You will.
At some point.
But you will.
You are going to get dealt with. Because we're going to see you at a show.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk to you about that.
All right, we'll sit down.
People that beat bitches.
Would this be our third comedy show that we've gone to together? Because we've seen Rob Van Dam together.
Yep.
We've seen Mick Foley, wrestlers. And this past Friday.
Yeah, this would be number three.
Dude, Sean and the Lousy Weather Media guys, they put on an awesome fucking night.
It was a hell of a fucking comedy show, dude.
Awesome fucking night. I don't know what I was expecting. I wasn't having low expectations. I wasn't going in and be like, I bet they're not funny. But, like, I was just kind of like, it's like, I don't know exactly what to expect. I'm not a comedian connoisseur to the point to where,
but
like,
there's so many.
I know about the local cats from Cleveland. It's like, I know some of the guys. I know the Chris Clems, and I know the Jordan Patricks, and I got to meet Jeremy Shear, and I know some
Anthony,
of these guys.
Yeah, like Anthony Savat. From fucking, you know, Kent.
Yeah, and then you got your Bill Squires and, who's the one guy? He's, like, so goofy. Chad Zumach.
Yeah, Zumach. Yeah, he used to be on MMS.
Yeah.
With the, Alan Cox dude.
Ah. Yeah. Ah. I know, a guy named, Ramon Rivas, second, who's doing...
Ramon!
Blazer Ramon, awesome motherfucker. He's doing big, he's got big things popping. He was just on Broad City, so whoop whoop to that. Yeah. But I caught something really, really fucking neat. And this is the thing I sort of caught on to years ago when I met Chris Clem at Con on the Cob, and they had some of the local comedians do shit. I was like, oh, they're homies. The local comedians around here are homies. And then it really hit me Friday how it's the exact same thing as a local music scene. Like, what's going on from Cleveland to Kent, right, to Akron, where there's comedians coming out to support other comedians, and they all know each other. They're all, like, book shit together. They're like, oh, who can host?
They're supporting their local scene.
Yeah, and they have, like, you know, the solid fives, and, like, who's, you know, who's going to be doing, like, a 20-minute... I don't know exactly how it's ran, because I don't know.
Right.
But we saw Dwayne Duke... And that motherfucker was funny. He went for an hour. I did not expect that.
I didn't Google any of them, right? Because I wanted to just have it fresh.
Okay.
Right? You know what I mean? I didn't want any expectations of any of them. So I didn't know any of them. I've never heard of any of these dudes.
Right.
And the first two comedians that went up were fucking awesome. They were fucking killing it.
Dude, yeah. Right from the get-go.
And the room was full. Like, fucking... Go Sean for filling up the Rialto.
Yeah, that was like the... We couldn't even get a table. We had to...
Oh, we stood
we
by
had
the bar.
Back at the bar.
We
yeah.
stood by the bar. Which was fine with me. Yeah, I drink.
That was cool.
I drink.
Yeah, it was Tim Wolf and T.M. Francis that were the
openers.
Yeah.
Those guys fucking killed it, dude.
Josh Lawhorn was the... Josh Lawhorn, I should say what? Proper. Who was a perfect host... Like, the yeah. guy had the hosting yeah. shit down.
He was good.
Had it down. Sean Astin up there did a bit on Alice in Chains.
Sean did?
Sean Astin did.
When?
Right at the very beginning, dude.
Why? Was I drinking?
Yeah.
What was I doing?
Yeah, you were there. We laughed.
I was there.
We laughed.
I don't remember you Sean. Didn't, you I don't remember yet. Sean being up there.
You didn't yell anal, so maybe that's why you don't remember it.
Who yelled that? What happened there?
What was the question? It was during T.M. Francis' set, I believe, right? Like he
I don't know which one of the dudes was which. I can't remember now.
Yeah.
There was a blue shirt and then the other dude.
Yeah, it was the second dude.
Okay, yeah.
So he did like the question was like what's the most common searched.
Yeah, what's the most common searched type of pornography? Or
yeah,
whatever.
And you screamed anal.
Anal!
And he played off that throughout the rest of the set. Yeah. I was like, that's
dope!
Good.
It was good. It was funny. I was surprised anal wasn't number one. Like, fucking, everybody goes for that.
Ah. I mean, it starts with the first letter of the alphabet.
Yeah,
it's hey.
Right there. Hey.
Because it's always the first category that you see that they offer you is like, hey, are you on a porn site now? Here's a list of things in alphabetical order. Thank you, porn sites, by the way, for that.
I don't...
Anal's always... It's right up there. But amateur was the number one.
Yeah.
And that goes right before anal, so it's like, boom.
It is. Definitely.
But you do see the anal, though, and you go, you know what? I'm going to click that. Let me see what's going on there.
Watch some stuff going on.
It's always good until they show like the inside of the butthole and it looks like some weird like strawberry destroyed.
The fucking wizard sleeve, bro.
Jesus Christ.
Like when they have the prolapsed videos and shit. The shit's just hanging out. It's like, it looks like those water things that you used to get when you was a kid and you like squeeze it from hand to hand and shit. Like I can't remember what they were called, but they were... That's what it kind of looks like, though.
That makes me hard.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah, have a fucking pen in my
anal's not balls. Something, like, I go after, right? Like, if a girl's into it and, you know, she, you know, wants that right at the moment, cool, man. We can get into that. But it's not something that I seek out. Like, I never tried to really go after that. Physically, it could just...
It's not your place to go after. That is not the thing that you get to go, like, guess what we're doing tonight.
You have to be invited to that party, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't walk into that party like, hey, I'm here and shit. Like, you have to have an invite to that party.
Spread your butt cheeks.
You definitely have to have an invite to that party. Don't be the dude...
You have to get an invite to it.
Don't be the dude that just shows up trying to fucking get free snacks and eat and, you know, drink beer.
Yeah. But if you're invited... You take the invite.
Yeah, go ahead and...
Give it a shot!
Go ahead and slide on in.
Give it a shot!
Slide on in.
I wonder, has there ever been a dude in the history of the world that has gone, no, I don't think so, at the invite? Do you think that there's ever been a man in that situation where right away where she's like, stick it in my butt?
I mean,
she probably says it way sexier, but like, you know. Do you think there's ever been a guy's like, no, ma'am. No, thank you.
Just because of the odds and numbers, I'll play the math part. Yeah. I think there's a dude that's out there that's been like, no.
Right.
No.
But nobody you've ever met.
Because, you know, well, here's the thing. As I'm trying. I mean, not that I can say. I can't say that I've had a friend be like, you know what? This girl wanted me to fuck her in her ass. And I was like, no way. Man. Well, I'm not doing that shit.
You poop from there.
Yeah. If I love a chick,
yeah,
I'm licking her butt. That's happening.
You better.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck?
You want to keep her, like, fucking...
It's 2017.
She'd probably lick her butt.
Yeah. Season 2 of Keeping It 99. We like ass here. And they do the bounce thing on the face and the... Yeah.
Right. So this comedy show we was
in. It was so
All we fucking need is for NDE to get back together, dude. That'd be fucking so awesome. Look, Hate Theory just played a fucking sold out show.
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys doing sitting on your fucking hands?
There is a need for this. This is a thing that just learned.
I feel like if you're going to do it, the time is now. Strike while the nostalgic iron is hot.
Do it. Because people, it dawned on me. It really, really dawned on me. I go, you know when our scene died was when all of those bands broke up.
Yeah.
They all decided to leave. And then we had no need to go see the new generation. But then again, like, maybe we were getting old and stuff. But the fact that... Well,
that and some of the bands just fucking sucked. And the scene started changing to where everybody was selfish and not wanting to work together.
There was a lot of that.
A whole lot of that.
There's a lot of motherfuckers not trying to even put in work. They're just trying to go out there and play fucking rock star.
Ugh.
And you know what's crazy, too, about, like, the scene that jumped immediately after ours? All those people are still doing the good bands that came into it, like, you know, the Brian Lapnins or the fucking Sean Astes and these guys, talented motherfuckers doing really cool shit now. They're still fighting, but what happened to the other fucking shitty bands? They're all just fucking what? Still trying, still doing some stupid fucking gimmick shtick, and they're still fucking just like jumping on shows last second, and they're not fucking drawing for dick. Not drawn for dick. There's some bands that came out of it that were great, but there wasn't enough.
There's still 50-year-old dudes that think they're gonna fucking make it, dude.
Oh my god, that's the best.
There's two types of people when it comes to fucking musicians, and there's the dedicated,
mm-hmm.
and then there's everyone else. Like the bands that do well, and the musicians that are awesome. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. And they work for their shows. They fucking promote their shows. They fucking they make money. They make it a point to fucking get on the road and get their shit out there. Like, those are the guys that are working, not Facebooking, MySpacing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. Cause that's a lot of the work that these newer bands put in is Facebook, and that's about as far as it goes, dude.
Does it make me old that I'm now determining whether or not I like newer, like these, I'm talking like early 20s artists? Because there's cats now, like, you know, that are like early 30s or whatever. Now I'm like, you're in our category. You're now in our category. You jumped over the line. Let's look at these 22-year-olds. Let's look at the bands like Black the Sun and Sweaty Mammoth. And the thing that I like about these bands that I like, they respect the bands that came before them. Does that make me an old ass who's like, you need to know about the Schnauzers.
Yeah.
You need to know about the NDE
show, you need to respect everybody. But they came before to pave the way for you.
The moment
you need to respect them.
The moment that Nate Serafino from Sweaty Mammoth was telling me about how when he started getting into guitar and he got hooked up with a Schnauzer record, and that like helped shape him as an artist, I was just like, "You're the fucking best. You're the fucking best, kid. That right there, respect for your elders, that's going to go a long way with me. That's going to make you're great. The future's in good hands. We're fine." But when I see people go up there and go, "Fuck what Mushroom Head did 20 years ago. Did some bullshit 20. Go fuck yourself in the face.
Go fuck your own face."
I can't stand young artists that don't. Like, they're like, they use the word scene.
Pay homage.
Yeah. Like, fucking know your roots. Like, in pro wrestling, you don't get to be cut a promo on somebody but never see a Ric Flair promo in your life. Go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? I don't know anything about Hulk Hogan, but I'm going to be the biggest wrestler in the world. No, you're not. Because you don't know shit about Hulk Hogan. How the fuck can you even try to get into a business without knowing about that shit first? How can you even dare go, "I'm going to be the leader of the Cleveland metal scene," without fucking paying respect to my man, Jason Popson?
Twisting 4-5 caps, bitch.
State of Conviction just played. What do you know about that? Nothing. I don't care about what they did, but what I know is they were a dick to my buddy's band, mask-wearing motherfuckers. Fuck me. Mushroom Head is our Ric Flair. Okay, and by that I mean in their prime, they were the fucking best thing around here, period. Yeah. Hands down, nobody.
They owned 1996.
And honestly, man, I've been to tons of shows. Grant's been to fucking tons of shows. It's hard to find a better experience for a local band than what we got to experience in the early days with Mushroom Head.
Yeah.
Ric fucking Flair in his prime.
Yeah.
Ric Flair went on too long. Ric Flair got flabby. He got old. He got lazy. He got winded. He just bled everywhere. And, and he wasn't putting on the matches that he was able to do. Ric Flair basically, essentially, had to use a backing track, okay, just to fucking put on the show that he was going to put on and get paid.
Right.
But he still loved doing it. He just didn't have what he used to have. And he went on way past his fucking prime. For years, I was like, "Retire, motherfucker." And then when he did, I was like, "Why is he gone?"
I don't want him to become a keep resident.
And I feel like, in a sense, a lot of people have that feeling with the band Mushroom Head, where they're like, not what he used to be. He's not doing the chops the same. His woos aren't as powerful. You know what I mean? He's not banging as many ladies. He's sad. He's divorced for the 12th time and having to pay the ex-wife all the money and... That's kind of Mushroom Head now. But, like, you still need to respect Ric fucking Flair, and you still need to respect fucking Mushroom Head. Because if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't... That fucking stupid word scene, you would never even fucking get to have that.
Beat like a dog.
He takes terrible photos, and every time I see a picture of him and his band, I just want to slap the fucking Phil Anselmo smirk off his face. It drives me fucking nutty, and I don't know if this guy's a good dude or a bad dude, but I've heard fucking negative stories before, so I can build an opinion about a person I barely fucking know. But every time he takes a fucking picture, he's like, "I'm fucking badass right now." I'm like, "You're a fucking dork."
Hey, we just seen that picture of that dude that killed the bear and shit, dude. That bear was badass, and the fucking dude's look on his face, fucking dork.
Fucking 1-inch penis, man.
Way to fucking go.
Fuck.
But yeah, you've been out to a lot of fucking shows, like, and so Primus being one of them.
Yeah. How was that? Dude, fucking insane.
At the Goodyear Theater.
Yeah.
Which is a place that, yeah, it was that's a place that I like.
Road from.
A lot of people didn't even know about that place. I grew up going there, seeing musicals and fucking plays and shit. Right, because my step family were huge into that, you know. So, like real theater, I used to go to the theater all the time, man. So, like when they opened that back up as a venue, I was like, "Oh my god, that's fucking amazing!" And then a band like Primus comes to Akron, and you're like, "Dude, Primus isn't fucking Akron, dude." This
opening up for themselves, awesome. Doing two sets.
Yeah, how long they play? 3 hours.
Primus? Yeah, roughly 2.5-3 hours.
I'm sad I missed it. I could have went, didn't. Sad I missed it.
I was invited. I was invited by Link, our mashup man.
The man behind the mashups.
Mashups.
The fucking genius.
Yeah.
Because he is a genius.
And he's awesome. He's one of the greatest people I've ever met. And he's like, "Hey, you want to go to Primus with me?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll go to Primus with you." I get there. We're like going, and I'm trying to think about, like, where are we going to be sitting? Because I saw the ticket prices. And I saw what was available for tickets. Where will we be sitting?
Right.
And then they give me a pit pass.
And you're like, and wait, the pit's like the closed part, right?
Yeah. And so I'm just kind of like, wait, so like we're going to be in, Link's like, "Yeah, we're not going to fucking be sitting down for a private show."
Link said, "We ain't no chumps."
Yeah. "I ain't no bitch, Eagle. Shut the fuck up and get in the pit." And so I'm like, "Oh my God, we got to go see what the theater and everything looks like." The pit was fucking tinier than the Agora pit. Like, the floor seats?
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay. And then there's no barricade between the pit and the stage.
Yeah, you're just right up to the stage.
And the stage just goes, like, right under the nipple. So you can just, like, rest your arms. What? And where we were standing, I took a shitload of pictures. Way too many pictures of Les Claypool. But it was right in front of fucking Les Claypool. For 3 hours, I made eye contact with Les Claypool more than I did anybody else on the planet. And you can never fucking take that away from me, anybody. Why would you want to? That's fucked up. Why are you doing that? Don't do that. And so, yeah, I had one of the greatest fucking experiences of my life. I knew I was going to have a good time, and I had a feeling that they were going to ruin my idea of fun going forward, but I ended up going to the fucking comedy show to see the Shame flashbacks recorded from Dwayne Duke. Had a blast. Yeah. Hung out with you. Got to hang out with fucking awesome people, and it was just great fucking vibes, man. Everybody's having a good time. Sean, fucking once again, you killed it, dude. And then I got to go see Hate Theory and Dolly Trauma and Blow the Tide.
Blow some guys.
Erasing Never. And curse them, who, like, our buddy Drew.
Yeah, isn't that a gig, right?
He's playing bass. He's looking all good.
He always looks good.
Looks good on the stage.
Looks like he's fucking 16 still.
He does, motherfucker does.
He's gotta be 30 by now, right? Has to be.
He's like 62.
He's gotta be like
still just. Now. He's like Pilates. I don't know.
Kid still looks like a kid. And again, every time I see him, I just want to hug him.
Coconut oil on the skin.
Kid's huggable.
He's super huggable. It's the first thing I did when I saw him. Hugged him.
That's what I do every time I see him.
You ever seen Curse Them before?
Who?
Curse Them.
Oh, no. I think I've seen him once before, yeah.
That was the first time I ever saw him, and I was like, whoa. Whoa.
But I can't.
There was a bit of a throwback in their sound, too, like to the early. Like, there was stuff that kind of reminded me of, like, some Caligo parts. Like, not specifically, but style-wise.
Right.
And I was kind of like, I haven't heard this in a while. Like,
Drew was one of the driving forces behind the riffs.
Drew Simon. Caligo reuniting, possibly, maybe. Who knows? February.
February 17th.
February 17th.
The same Valentine's Day massacre shit. We have no idea what the fuck's happening.
One thing we can promise you, it's going to be a surprise to us, too.
There are flyers.
Yeah.
It's a show.
The fact that they didn't do a dot, 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 maybe question mark at the bottom of the flyers, bullshit, it's false advertising. I'm kidding, I have faith in you guys, maybe. Maybe.
It'll happen.
It will.
It's booked, it better happen.
It better happen.
I'll fucking kill you. So I've been I've been stuck, like, I'm spending a lot of time at home. Me and my cat hanging out, right? So I'm YouTubing a lot of shit. And so I've recently come across this fucking dude on on Twitch. He's a fucking gamer, right? And he streams. Have you ever heard of Dr. Disrespect?
No.
Dr. Disrespect.
Yeah.
Two time. Back to back. 1993, 1994. Blockbuster video game champion.
Oh.
The greatest in the world.
Oh. What?
This dude's fucking amazing. His whole fucking character, his whole shtick, everything's amazing. He's got a rocking ass 70s porn mustache with a mullet, wig, and sunglasses, and he wears a vest. This dude is 6'8". He's 6'8", and is legit one of the best gamers in the world right now. He's fucking, like, Twitch's dude.
Dr. Disrespect.
You gotta check him out. He's fucking amazing.
Dr. Disrespect.
And the fucking song that they use for him to dance to, it's like the song Gillette by some, I don't know, techno fucking group. Linkin. Yeah, it's fucking hilarious. This guy's fucking amazing. Look, get on YouTube and look up Dr. Disrespect right now.
I'm looking at his Twitter.
Look up your fucking.
Pretty impressed.
He's fucking amazing. This dude is the best thing I've seen in a long time. Let me see if I can find his intro real quick, because his intro is fucking amazing, man.
While you're looking for it, let me recommend real quick the brand new Cannibal Corpse album. They're this really underground death metal band.
Kind of obscure.
Yeah, not many people know about them, especially death metal people. They've never heard of this band, but I highly recommend you go check out Cannibal Corpse. Their new record is... it's groovy. It's funky. It's fresh. Too many power ballads, but other than that, it's pretty great.
Were they playing it?
The Agora.
They're playing the Agora, right?
Power Trip and shit. Yeah, man.
I seen them back in the day. I can't remember who they played with, but they played the Ballroom.
Pissing Razors?
Probably it.
Yeah.
I asked Buddy yesterday or today, Buddy, the bass player from Fistula. I was like, weren't you at that show with me? And he was like, no, dude. He's because like, I got to meet fucking George that night. Mm-hmm. Fisher, from the fucking singer from the band. And super cool fucking dude, awesome, super mellow. But Buddy was talking about how he wanted to meet him and wanted to talk to him real bad. I was like, you weren't there that night? And he was like, no. And I'm like, dude. Because I think they're probably going to play the theater now. I seen him in the ballroom, and seriously, the guitar player was fucking a foot away from my face, just melting shit.
Trip was a show.
It was amazing. So good. All right, here's the fucking intro for Dr. Disrespect. This guy's goddamn brilliant. Again, 6'8". Dude's fucking huge.
Like him sitting Dr. Claw style in a chair. You just see the back of it. Now the chair's starting to spin.
Turning real slow like.
He looks a lot like the singer of Monster Magnet.
Right. Yeah. This dude has 20,000 subscribers.
It's not enough.
We're gonna get him some more. Oh!
20,001, motherfucker! He's now zooming in on his Monster Magnet face.
Nice and slow on the stash. Oh!
Oh, man! I can't wait to show Evan this. Is that like the Switchblade Comb?
Yeah. Which, if you don't know, Switchblade Comb is one of the better songs from band Pillow Humpers. Ooh. Check that out.
Everything this guy does is perfection.
The name. It's Doctor. Disrespect. I'm the two-time. Back-to-back. Consecutive years. A lot of you are still in your little diapers. Still your little onesies, pajamas, little footsie pajamas. He-Man pajamas. Spider-Man pajamas. A lot of you are still sleeping on the top of your bunk bed. Underneath your blankets. Scared to death of the boogeyman underneath your bed. A lot of you were still there while I was out at Marine World, winning 2 years in a row, the 1993, 1994 Blockbuster Video Game Championship, right in front of the Killer Whale exhibit. 200 plus tube TVs, NBA Jam. I am the. I'm an international video game superstar. I'm 6'8", 37 inch vertical leap, a jawline that will cut, slice, deliver anything that you can ever dream of right to your front door. Nothing but success. Nothing but success. That's what my life's about. Period. And the arena today, ladies and gentlemen, is wide open. And the crowds are flooding in. VIP seating, skybox section reserved for the Slick Daddy Club. Slick Daddy Club looking so damn good today. I'm feeling so damn good. It's obvious.
Some of the best promos, dude.
Such a good. He's my favorite wrestler this week.
Showed the V in his neckline.
Fuck me, what?
I cannot wait to show Evan this. Can't wait to show him.
Dr. Disrespect!
You can't not go look that dude up. You gotta go look that dude up. Just spend an hour.
Badass man of the week, Dr. Disrespect. So I'm not wrong though, right? Fucking Avenged Sevenfold is garbage.
Was it Sinister Gates, right? Isn't that the guitar player from Avenged Sevenfold? Here, God damn it, man. Now I gotta Google that shit, but I'm pretty sure, right? Sinister Gates?
Yeah, sure.
Well, no, we got
Hey guys, I was born with this name. My name's Sinister Gates.
He's a fucking really good guitar player, dude.
I'm sure they're all really good. I know, I'm saying, like, Steve Vai is really, really good, right? One of the best. According to some people, they'd say he's the best. Joe Satriani, some people would say that he's the best. As far as songwriting goes, And I feel that way with the Avengers. I feel like their singer sucks. I'm sorry, that singer, dude.
What's that dude's name? M Shadows.
Yeah, dude. I just watched a video. It was like on their Facebook page where they just performed like the Loudwire Metal Award ceremony.
Yeah.
And the singer is just singing so fucking out of key. Singing these shitty fucking stupid lyrics, and the only people singing back Dr. Disrespect versus Avenged Sevenfold. Yeah, dog.
Just so you know.
That's what's up. But he's like, hey, I want to hear you motherfuckers sing it or whatever. You sons of guns singing it, because it was an award show. And they just show these girls with giant breastises. Just like, yeah, I'm singing the words to the song. Yeah, I'm into it really passionately. And I was like, motherfuckers. I was like, the casual metal fans got to go. You got to go. I hate the whole...
Maybe I just hate famous metal bands at this point in the game. I never really gave Avenged Sevenfold a shot, but everything I've ever seen of them, and I always go back to it like once a year or so, like I'll be like, eh, see what a thing that they do, because apparently tons of people love them. They're headlining festivals. My name's Jason Minks. And don't break your arm jerking yourself off, man. But like, fucking, I don't care how fucking famous. Famous shit sucks all the time. There's so much shit that sucks that's fucking popular. And it happens especially in fucking heavy metal because they want to keep it watered down and safe for radio fucking consumption. Like, they want to just keep... Avenged Sevenfold's part of that fucking problem.
But I think there's that fan of rock and roll that wants the heavy but can't really take the heavy, so they kind of land on this mediocre... weight. It's not really heavy, but it's not soft. It's just kind of in the middle.
See, I'm such an elitist where I'm like, you don't just get some of the heavy.
I do know this. Sinister Gates from Avenged Sevenfold is an amazing guitar player. There's a video that I've seen of him playing an acoustic guitar, and he was just playing all blues riffs, dude. And he's really good. Just fucking flawless.
Mm.
So, I don't like the band. I never got into him. It's not my scene. It's like... Do casual metal fans have to go? No. Away from me, yeah. Like, because we can't hang out and shit, obviously. You have different opinions on music. So, you gotta stay over there. You don't have to go. Somebody needs to listen to that shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't... I don't know. I hate mediocrity in heavy metal. Like, I just hate it. There's no need for it at all nowadays. It's not... There's no sense of fucking... There's no need for it. Like, you're killing progress of a genre of music that we love, that we have a fucking podcast where we talk about it all the fucking time. And you're just basically just going like, hey, I'm just gonna shit on this fucking track right here, but like, I got a label that pushes it, and so everybody thinks we're fucking famous. And it's like, Devin Townsend. Yeah, I mean, there's tons of wonderfully fucking talented dudes that are doing great things, right? Like, Devin Townsend's one of those guys. And he's still not as famous as fucking Avenged Sevenfold. It just makes me mad. I think that's just the part of it, too. It's like, you get upset.
Sure.
Because I know tons of bands. I know tons of bands that get mad at other bands that are more popular in their scene. Back to that shit. And so they'll dog them. They'll be like, they can't fucking do this because I should be in that spot. You know what I mean? Right. There's that competitive nature that goes with it.
But there's a lot of mediocre musicians, and like, we know, like, not even just bands, but like, just, we know musicians who have more talent, you know, than fucking half the people that are in successful bands touring, right, making money and selling fucking albums and shit.
They not only do they have more talent, but like, better songwriting.
Morgan Phelps is one of the most talented fucking musicians I know.
Co-conspirator. Yeah. Did a shot with him at the show.
He's awesome. Super fucking great dude. Loves Star Wars. Buy him a shot. But he's one of the fucking best musicians I know.
Ever.
Like, he's fucking one of the craziest bass players there are. He fucking plays a war guitar. He fucking... I don't know if he mastered the Chapman stick, but I know he fucking used to tear that motherfucker up and then moved on to the war guitar from the Chapman stick.
I know he's better at it than anybody else I've ever met.
He's just really fucking solid, man. Is he gonna make millions of dollars? Is he gonna fucking tour everywhere? Is he gonna... No. That sucks. That fucking sucks. So, I totally get where you're coming from. Seeing successful, mediocre... Mediocrity being successful over what is righteous, essentially.
I just hear Bill Hicks in my head when I hear generic fucking metal. And which is so weird, because when it comes to hip-hop, in my car right now, 3-6 Mafia. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not out here for a pimp.
I got that. On some scissor.
It's the most cheesy verses you've ever heard. Great choruses. But the most mindless and senseless hip hop out there.
It's because they made that shit on syrup.
But I'm dying to go bump it. I wanna just go to the gas station just so I can hear it in the car for driving around the block being like, spinners. Right? But when it comes to shitty hip hop, I'm never like, oh, that's fucking shitty. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, shitty hip hop's like kind of a thing. Whatever.
Because you still
it's
have
kind of a thing.
But you still have a solid beat behind it, mostly.
Yeah, maybe. However, when it comes to heavy metal, and somebody's like, listen to this band, and I'm like,
So generic, dude. So generic. And they're like, they're fucking awesome. And they're really cool dudes. I'm always taking the approach of, they're fucking garbage, man. Like, no. That shit sucks. It's generic. It's corny.
I guess they're good.
It's copying and pasting every fucking thing.
I guess it's good if it sounds like, if it sounds like everything else, then yes, it's good. If that's what good is to you.
Like, you're in heavy metal. Why would you not want to fucking make the next big fucking sound or write the next great fucking metal song or be heavy? Actually heavy. I don't know. It drives me nuts. Which brings us to this time of the week. It's time to go, because it's getting late, brother. It's getting late for us.
So why not bring you a newer band?
Yes.
Some younger cats.
Yes.
That are coming up right now.
Then, and it's not, we're not talking about Evanescence, and we're not talking about Van Halen. We're talking about Van
Evra.
Van Evra.
Kent Akron area, fucking younger cats coming up. Like, they're all fucking 21-ish.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, Brandon, the guitar player, is 19. 18, 19 years old. Really good guitar player. Fucking solid kid. That dude's been coming to shows for years. Their singer, tall, lanky, fucking... I've known him since he was like 15. He's
he's like the Penguin.
He was really close friends, like best friends with my one nephew. And so I got to see him like start singing when he was younger, and it wasn't good. It wasn't. Derek, it sucked. It was awful. You can tell he's a cat that has really worked on his vocals, that he, you know, he's focused on it. Because he's gotten to this point, and he sounds like he does now. So good on you. You guys got a great band. I fucking seen them play a week ago, and I told him, I was like, you guys are dangerous. And he was like, what do you mean? I said, for other bands right now. Because the bands that are out right now, the shit that these young kids have to compete with,
mm-hmm.
they're on top of their game.
That's what's up. Yeah,
so we're gonna fucking hit you with some Van Evra.
True story. He just hit me with like a little clip, and he's like, "Listen to this." I'm like, "Ooh, what's that?"
As soon as I started playing, "What's that?
What's that? What's that? Is that bacon for my ears?"
And that's usually how you know something's good.
What is that? Tell me now. He tells me, I go, that should be Bass Band of the Week. He goes, I fucking know! That's why I played it for you. So here you are, we're going to play some Van Evra, and we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Get that, and that's the Keep It In 99 guarantee-ish.
It'll be episode 2 of season 2 at Keep It In 99.
Thanks for letting us go through our things.
You're lucky to have us.
And we're lucky to have us, too.
Yeah, we are.
We'll see you next week.
I'm Rubber City Redbeard.
I'm Eagle.
Peace the fuck out.
Tell your parents! A Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.